Tonight I would just like, I feel the Lord wants to speak to two types of people tonight. And for the others, you can just listen in. But this message truly is for two types of people. And we'll see as we go on exactly who they are. But several years ago, I was asked to speak in a church in Ireland. And it was a Sunday morning, and I didn't know the congregation. I'd never been there before. And there had been, previous to speaking that Sunday, the week before, there had been a large conference in Ireland, and that Pastor Carter and I had attended. And the glory of God was in that conference. And it just like we ended that week on this high note of victory and praise to God. And that it ended on a Saturday, and the next day I was speaking in a church about 2 hours away. And since some people from that congregation had been at that conference, and also the pastor had been at that conference, I felt in my own mind that the message on Sunday was going to be just more of praising God and thanking Him for what He had done, and just encouragement and ending on a victory note. And so I went to bed Saturday night with that thought in my mind. And Sunday morning I got up early to prepare. But everything felt so different. And I felt quite sure that that was not going to be the type of message, that it was to be something very, very different. And unknowns to me, I was going into a congregation where one of the families in that congregation had suffered a terrible tragedy that year. And the tragedy had, it was like it had tentacles, and it went all through the congregation in the sense of not just suffering with this family, but it raised so many questions about God. And because in many ways in the Republic of Ireland that the church is very young, that the born-again church is smaller in number and very young, that there were not, you know, great and older people in the faith many times in congregations, that people had only recently come to the Lord very, they weren't an old spiritually in this congregation, that it's, I didn't know that how this tragedy to one family was affecting all of them. And it concerned a family that had several children, about six or seven children, and they had one son, a very beloved son, and he was about 21. And on his 21st birthday, as a matter of fact, there was a party held for him, and hundreds came. He was extremely loved in the community, and this family lived in the country, in the countryside, in a little town in Ireland. But that, tragically, that young man died in a car accident, in a car crash. And before he had passed away, his mom, who was a prayer warrior and a lady who loved to witness about the Lord, he had said to her at one time, he said, "Mom, I tell you what, I will gather people and you can speak to them." And he died tragically. And in Ireland, they wake the family at home many times. And so when this young man died, his body was actually in his house in the countryside. And many people were going to the house, to the wake, to pay their respects to the family. And it was at nighttime. And because so many had come and there were so many cars, that they had a generator and a large pole on it to give light to shine into the fields where people could park. And two family members, I believed it was a cousin and an uncle to the dead boy, they were moving this generator with a pole that was lighting up where it fell over, and the two men carrying it were electrocuted in the field. And as their bodies were being electrified, people were rushing forward to help them. And as they were trying to help them, these bodies arcing in the air, they were badly burned. And so all of a sudden the lights went out and people were screaming. Five people were seriously burned trying to help these two men that were electrocuted, but they were electrocuted to death. And they formed a circle holding hands around the bodies, and they were trying not to let the 10s and the 20s and the 30s break in on the bodies lying on the ground. Now it was completely dark, and all they could hear was the wailing and yelling and screaming of people. And most people didn't know what was going on, and they were trying to form a circle to keep people from rushing in on the two men dead in the field with a dead boy in the house. And the pastor who was in the house at the time told me later that it felt like an absolute scene from hell. It was absolutely blackness outside, and there's death all around, and there was just pandemonium and chaos, and there was no words to what that moment felt like. It was reported in the newspaper, this story about the death of a very popular young man and subsequently two relatives. And when it hit the papers and it came time for the funeral, not only were there hundreds there for that young boy's funeral, but actually the prime minister of the country came, attended by many dignitaries. And that mother put her hand on her son's casket and preached to them all. When that had happened about a year previous to my coming, but I didn't know that story or the family. And when I stood up that day to speak, where the Lord had just in my heart so spoke to me and changed the message that I thought in my own understanding what this congregation needed, but he knew what they needed. And in a thumbnail sketch, what the Lord wanted shared that day was this one thought, that there are some testimonies, some necessary testimonies that need to be seen and shared in the body of Christ. What I'm trying to say is that in the Bible, you know, we have middle-aged testimonies and teenage testimonies. And by that, I mean, you know, there was a man 38 years by the pool of Bethesda, and he was crippled. And Jesus came to him in his place of crippledness and despair and healed him. That was like a middle-aged miracle. There was another one where teenage miracle, where a young girl 12 years old had died, and the Lord came to her, his house, and he put his hand upon her, and he raised her from the dead. And there were testimonies of Mary Magdalene, people filled with demons, and Jesus drove the devils out of that young woman. But there is also in the Bible a John the Baptist testimony. And that John the Baptist testimony is when you are a believer who truly loves the Lord, finds themselves in a very dark place. In John the Baptist's case, he found himself in prison. And it was at the height of Jesus' ministry. It was at the height of when Jesus was walking the earth, and the scripture tells us that the blind received their sights and the lame walked. The lepers were cleansed, the deaf heard, the dead were raised up, and the poor had the gospel preached to them. And it was like the kingdom of God all of a sudden was now not just heard about, but seen on the face of the earth. And Jesus Christ himself was walking the earth doing untold and incredible miracles. And it was at that time that John the Baptist, the man who preached about his coming, was put in prison. And it was John, you know, so the scripture says that when John was in prison and he heard about all the miracles and all the great things that were happening, when he himself was the forerunner speaking about it, and now when it's the fulfillment, now he was going to be proved right, now everybody would understand that what John had been speaking about for so long was actually true. This man, the forerunner of Jesus, found himself in a prison. And it says that John called his disciples together and he said, I want you to go to Jesus and say to him, are you the one that should come or do we look for another? How could John not know that Jesus was the Messiah? And beloved, he did know. But in this place of darkness and in a place of a prison, It seems like John was in a very dark place. And Jesus said, tell him all the miracles that I am doing. Remind him who I am, even though he knows who I am. Rehearse again. Talk about my incredible works. Talk about that the dead are raised. Talk about the lame and the deaf and the lepers. Talk about all my wondrous works that can be seen among the people. Remind him, but then tell him this, that blessed is he whosoever shall not be offended in me. Blessed is he whosoever shall not be offended in me. And when we look at that word offended, it means blessed is a person not ruined in their conduct because of suffering. Blessed is the person not ruined in their thought life because of suffering. Blessed is that person not ruined in their speech because of suffering. Blessed are those when they don't understand for a season, if need be, that they find themselves in a very dark place. Even though all around them, it seems like everyone around them is touching God, getting revived, being moved in their spirit, and that those that followed Christ knew all this and experienced it themselves. And yet, for some inexplicable reason, for a certain time in their life, they too now are found in a very dark place where the glory of God doesn't seemingly touch them. And Jesus is saying, blessed is those who at this moment of suffering, or at this moment seemingly is so unmoved, even though they had known so much, blessed is that person who will not be ruined because of this type of suffering. Where everyone else is rejoicing in the greatest spiritual time of their life, and yet the John the Baptist seemed to live in a prison and untouched, and even sometimes having thoughts where they know better. Yet there are things coming out of their mouth. There are thoughts being thought in their mind that beg questions. And it's a John the Baptist testimony. It's a time where a believer is put into a dark place where it doesn't seem to be an answer for it. And you know, John the Baptist had prayed a prayer. He had prayed, Lord, that I may decrease, that I could decrease, that you would increase. And I think the Lord was answering that prayer. And John the Baptist, you know, so this is the first person that I'm speaking to, but there are believers who have known the Lord and yet for a season go into a very dark place. There are people that truly, like John the Baptist, have a testimony with God. And for a season, they seem outside of everything. And the enemy wants to come and ruin something of their spiritual life and ruin their speech and ruin something to cause disrepute. And Jesus said, hold on, because blessed is he who will not be offended in me, who will in this darkness, will say, Lord, I will choose not to be offended. I will have to cry out to you, and I'll have to say, Lord, put down this thoughts. And even though I don't sometimes for a season, it seems like I'm not revived and your spirit can't find me in this dark place. Yet, Lord, I'm going to choose to believe. God, it's going to take a miracle, but I'm going to begin to rehearse the good things you have done in my life. And I'm going to begin to rehearse the miracles I see in other people's lives. And God, Jesus says, blessed is that one who cannot be ruined in a time of suffering. Blessed is that one when there is no answers. Blessed is that one who is going to say, oh Lord, even though it seems like the greatest time on earth and I'm missing it all or I'm outside of it all, I'm undelivered, but yet Lord, you will keep me unoffended. Blessed is that man who will not be, or woman who will not be ruined because of the suffering. And beloved, I'm thinking now of someone in this place whose spiritual identity may be starting to be be formed apart from Christ. And by that, I mean that people who actually have known the anointing of God and have spoken the things of God and yet haven't realized it, but deep down they have thought, Lord, I've been separated unto you just like John the Baptist was in the desert. And I knew you before anybody else knew you. I knew you before anyone in my family knew you. I seemed to know you. I announced you to the world just like John the Baptist did. Lord, you allowed me to baptize you, that I could stand in baptism with you and that I could proclaim to the world who you were. And it's like I had such a revelation and there was a humility upon this man, and believers who've known that humility, that's where John said, I must decrease and he must increase. Let all the glory go to him. Let the crowd follow Jesus. He's the one worthy. I'm not worthy even to unlatch his shoe. But when people have known a great touch of God, sometimes their spiritual identity can start to be formed apart from Christ. In other words, that I have known so much that I kind of deserved a better than this. I know things, and I've been touched by God, and there can be that, Lord, if I am really right on, there's like a spiritual pride began to form, and Jesus was going to save any person that's been used of God from spiritual pride. Jesus is committed to separating a believer from spiritual pride. And he knows how to do that, because the plans he has for us as believers, the plans and the testimony that he wanted to give to John Baptist was so needed, because believers who are truly going to be used are going to know a dark time of prison, and the enemy is going to try to come and ruin that person and say, if God is with you, then why this? And God is going to be able to stir up, because of past testimonies and past anointings and past times when God was with you, he is going to be able to keep a believer in that very dark time and at the same time separate from spiritual pride and say, Lord, I am yours. You are the potter. I am the clay. I don't deserve any kind of life. It is not a spiritual elitism in me. But God, you have given me life for your praise and your glory. So do with me as you want. And when a believer can get to that point that, Lord, I don't deserve a destiny. I don't deserve a blessing. I don't deserve this because I've done this for you or that for you. Beloved, God can take that kind of person, put them in the darkest of prisons for a season, and bring comfort and power and strength to so many. It is a necessary testimony. And it was so needed. That family that was suffering in Ireland so needed to hear, you have not blown it. You have not displeased the Lord. You have not done some great horrendous thing that something should fall upon you. No, it was a young church, but God knew he was going to send his word. And young as they were going to understand that there were some things in life where a suffering will come upon an appointed people, a John the Baptist-like believer, that God can point and say, I need this testimony in the earth. Because while John was in the darkest of prisons, Jesus was on the other side praising him. Jesus said, there was never a man born of woman greater than John the Baptist. So while John was mentally struggling in that prison for a time and a season, yet the Lord Jesus was walking in the daylight, praising this man, saying, don't you judge him. It is for a reason and a season that he is there. And yet, the scripture says, for a while, if needs be, some will suffer. You see, it's important some go through this suffering because Jesus can use it. It is where he's going to say, come boldly to me in the time of need. Come boldly. Don't let the enemy push you away and say, what have I done that I'm so out of touch? Why? What is it? I'm living in this darkness. No, press boldly through, for a mighty victory is coming for those who will not be ruined. in their speech will not be ruined in their thought life in a time of suffering, but say, He is stronger. He is stronger. Even in this darkness when I don't feel Him, He is with me. He is in heaven praising the saints. He is with me. I don't need to feel Him for a season. I don't have to have the light shine on my path of blessing. The Lord is with me. He has saved me. Whatever kind of life He has appointed for me, for whatever even needs be, a prison for a season, I know my God is good and that He is saying He is with me and He is praising my name in heaven. Hallelujah. It is a necessary testimony, and some saints are going to be brought through a John the Baptist testimony, and you're going to be able to sing in the prison because the Spirit of the Lord will come upon you, because Jesus would not be praising John if he did not make it through. John made it through. And there will be saints that will learn to sing, praise you, let my life praise you. Wherever I find myself, I'm going to rise to my feet and I'm going to praise you. And as we begin to just say, even though I don't feel you in this midnight hour, even though I don't sense you, I'm going to be found, Lord, by faith on my feet, praising you. And then we'll begin to hear, Jesus. I know when John began to pray, he all of a sudden heard and knew that God approved him, that Christ had not forsaken him, that somehow that when he stood to his feet, the lie was broken off his mind that he was forsaken. No, he was in a God-appointed place. There needs to be a testimony on the earth, and he was actually chosen for it. And finding that Jesus was praising him when he got to his feet and began to say, Lord, you form me out of clay, and whatever you choose for me, I embrace it. And for this season, oh God, I will not be ruined in my time of suffering. Because blessed is that person who will not be ruined and will keep saying, I'm going to rise in my prison and call you good. I'm going to rise in my dark place and call you good. I'm going to defeat the enemy and call him good. Because Jesus said, if I will not be offended in where I find myself in this season, and will not allow the enemy to plant thoughts and lies in my mind, and will not allow me to say that I am under God's disapproval or favor, but God, you can take every part of my life, even the prison part, for your glory. And I will give it to you, Lord. And you will get glory out of it. And beloved, if you're here tonight and you feel out of touch, and everybody else seems to be in revival mode and you're in survival mode, everyone seems to be having a testimony and a praise, and beloved, you are in a dark place, in a prison place where you can't seem to touch him, hold on. Hold on. God is good and he has not forsaken you. You are not living under his disapproval. If you have a testimony of God and you know his faithfulness, you and I are going to, in a dark time, stand up and push back the accusation of the enemy. Because you see, there is much to be learned in that place, and there is great power given. And beloved, can I tell you that after I spoke that message, unbeknownst of who was before me, 95% of that congregation got on their feet and moved to the front. They surrounded that family, and they themselves, even their dark questions, like, why did I pray with all my might and that person died? Why did I pray and believe and yet that loved one still walked out the door? All the questions, all the prayers, of truly what they felt was believing God, and yet the answer didn't go the way they prayed so hard for. And a worm had deposited in their mind, and it was churning. And every time people preached on faith or talked about healing or God touching people, there was a yes but in them. Maybe never spoken out loud, but the Lord knew that that worm was there. But the Lord was saying, no, I need a John the Baptist testimony, not just a middle-aged miracle and not healings, but I need a testimony of a man I loved and a man I've chosen for a season, if found in a prison place. But I tell you, Jesus was praising that man. And Jesus was saying, I've answered his prayer, that I could be greatly enlarged in his life. That I could increase and he decrease, and I know what I'm doing. And beloved, you and I may find ourselves in that place, even some of you tonight, you are there. You rise to your feet tonight and you say, I praise you, Lord Jesus. You are good. I lay to rest every question because that's a worm planted by the enemy to eat away my faith. And yet I know you're good. I have declared you to be good. I've experienced you to be good. And you will continue to be good. And your mercy will be with me. And the life you've chosen me, I will embrace. And I will find you in this prison. And you will bring the light into it. And many, many, many will be strengthened and blessed through that testimony. Beloved, we've got to go out into this world convinced of the love and the power of God. And that's one person that I feel the Lord wanted to speak to tonight. But there is a second person. And you may have come in tonight. And you are in that very dark place and that prison in your mind, but unlike the first person, there is no possibility of light in your darkness because you've not yet surrendered to the love of Jesus. There is no past testimony to draw on. There is no testimony of his faithfulness to you or his goodness to you because you have yet have gone your own way. You have not yet surrendered to his love. You have not yet known what it is to say, Lord, I want to have peace with you. And I want you to enter the darkness in my mind, the prison in my mind, the discouragement that sits upon me. And even though I know that what I've heard tonight is other people experience darkness and they experience discouragement. And yet you say, Lord, you have a relationship with them that at some point you give them power and strength to stand to their feet and say, God, you are good. And yet, Lord, I know I've never experienced that. And tonight, there is a hopelessness. And you're not saying, your battle is not God. Where Jesus said to John, blessed is he who is not offended in me. But you sit here tonight, and you are saying, God, are you offended at me? God, are you offended at me? And I want to say that Jesus Christ, the Son of God, God became man, and this man Jesus never knew sin. He never knew what it was to be corrupted by sin. He was never stained by a sin. He was never corrupted. He was never marred inside. He was never not holy. And yet, he who knew so no sin became sin. He became the offense. So that God the Father laid the sin of the world upon his beloved Son who knew no sin. Every sin that ever was committed, every sin that even this moment is being committed, and every sin that ever will be committed by man, by humanity, would be laid upon the shoulders of the sinless one. And when he went to a cross, every sin ever committed would be laid upon that cross with his son Jesus. God is not offended at you. God became in his son the offense. He laid all the sin upon himself. He who didn't deserve to die died. He who knew no sin became sin. God is not offended with you tonight. God became the offense so that we could lay our sin nature, upon Christ, and we could go free. That Jesus would die so that God the Father would be satisfied, because without the shedding of blood, there is no forgiveness of sin. And so the Father decided it was not your blood nor mine that would pay for sin. You see, I can sin and I can shed my blood, but it's not going to cover my offense. There is only one ever begotten of the Father who walked this earth, whose blood can take away the offense of sin. And that is Jesus Christ, the Son of God. And when the sinless one, who is God, shed his blood, there is no sin so deep that it cancels the blood of God. There is no sin so horrendous that it cancels the blood of God. There is no sin that is stronger, deeper, or greater than the blood of Jesus Christ. And whoever that blood is applied to their life, and it is applied to our life when we in our heart say, oh God, I am a sinner. God, forgive me for Jesus' sake, who went to the cross for my sin, died for my sin. Lord, I thank you. You shed your blood that the Father could say, now there is a satisfaction for sin. Sin has been atoned for. It's been made up, not by man. Man cannot forgive man. Only God can forgive man. And God says, I choose to forgive you. If you will come to my son, if you will bow before him, if you will say, Lord Jesus, I'm a sinner, and I ask you to forgive me. I ask you to cleanse me. I ask you to put a new nature in me. I ask you to make me a new person. And God says, I will for Jesus' sake. Hallelujah. And Jesus comes to every sinner that has ever come to him and said, Lord, forgive me and cleanse me. Break the power of sin in me. Make me new. And Jesus says, I do. And when we come to Christ, he not only forgives us. God not only forgives us. I mean, this is amazing. God forgives us. But he just doesn't forgive us. He cleanses us. And then he gives us a new nature. And he makes us righteous. That means he makes us in right standing with God. And even though we will fail from time to time, we have forgiveness. We are a forgiven people. And then the Holy Spirit comes and lives in us. And he makes us, he changes us. And if we fail, when we sin, we can't live like that. We're given a new nature which is holy. It's a Christ in us. Who is holy, and we're not satisfied to live a sinning life anymore. And he comes and he gives us new desires. He gives us a new heart. He gives us a new mind that wants to walk with God and not just walk with him, but become like him. This is a miracle. This is a miracle. And everyone that has come to Christ and been forgiven of their sin and has had the Holy Spirit, who is Jesus, the Spirit of Jesus living in them, they become brand new. They are become new creations in the order of this world. They become a new creature, not an old creature formed in sin, but a new kind of creature that has God living in them. Man becomes the dwelling place of God. I am the dwelling place of God. You in Christ are the dwelling place of God. We become a new order of creation. Hallelujah. And he breaks the darkness. And he gives us this new life. And that is why, after we've walked with God for a while, if we find ourselves in a dark place, that's not the last word. If we find ourselves in a dark place, we are stirred up by the Holy Spirit in us to say, God, you are greater. There is more. You've never stopped loving me. If you went to a cross to break the sin nature in me, you are still with me in this prison. And I'm going to rise and stand in the darkness and defeat it by declaring you are good and you are with me, that you love me, that you've never left me, and you never will. You will never leave me. You will never forsake me, for I am your son. I am your daughter, and you don't walk out on family. You stay and you change us because you love us. Hallelujah. 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 God the Father, because he loved us, laid all our sin on a son he loved, the darling of heaven. And before the world was ever formed, God in the Son with the Holy Spirit planned that it needs be so. There had to be suffering that you and I could be redeemed from the curse of sin, that you and I could go free from a curse that is upon every human being that walks this earth, except they be found in Christ, given a new nature, a new life, something holy and divine coming into the mind and the spirit that separates us from every other person. And hallelujah. And we can stand in a prison in a dark time where we feel God is far from us and say, God, I thank you. I did not choose you. You chose me. So you've chose to be with me even now. Hallelujah. So there are two people tonight, those that are in the prison with Christ and those you've come to this place, a prison in your mind, hopelessness and discouragement upon you, but outside of Christ. May I say, having been in both places, my life has forever changed 31 years ago, when in my darkness and hopelessness and utter discouragement, I came to a Jesus who said he loved me and wanted me. And he had a life plan for me that only he could live in me and through me. And so in my brokenness and in my sin, I bowed my knee and I bent my head. And I prayed and I asked Jesus to come into my heart. And when I rose to my feet, I was a new person. And there have been times I've found myself in a John the Baptist prison only to be reminded that there's all for a plan and a purpose, and the darkness never lasts. In Christ, the darkness never lasts because he is the light of the world. I found out he turns the darkness to light because I found when I'm in a place of suffering, that Jesus says, blessed are you if you won't be offended in me. Rise and call me good, and you will see I am. That suffering has a purpose. I love you. And tonight, beloved, may I say that you're in a place hearing truth, and not everybody has been in a place hearing truth today. And that if you are in a prison of your own making without Christ, tonight, you can come to a Jesus who says, I will enter that prison with my life, my light, and my love. I will enter that prison. I will break the power of the darkness. I will break sin if you ask me to. I'll come into your heart. I will light you up. I will give you my life, and you will never be the same. And the dark and the mental torment and the hopelessness will be broken. And you will know that Christ is with you. I just want to ask you to stand with me. If tonight that you would like this offer that cost Jesus everything, his life, if you want to accept the offer of this new life in him, we're just going to ask you, do you just make your way to the front? Let it be a public thing. Let it say, I don't care who's watching on my left or my right, I'm going. But I also, too, the Lord reminded me that those that are finding themselves in a place of suffering, in a place of darkness, where it seems that you have been outside of the moving of God, you have been outside of for a season the miracles, you seem to be in a place where you're just by faith taking, it takes faith to just move forward and not lose it. And the Lord says, I'm with you tonight. And I want to strengthen you in a very special way. So if that is you tonight, come and receive this assurance that you are in a place that of this suffering that God can use and is using for his glory. If you want to receive Christ or you are in that place, would you come forward now as the musicians and the band plays, and the Lord's going to do something very deep, sweet, and life-changing in our midst.
You stood before creation. You stood before my failure.
those that have come, and you could say, I'm right now in a John the Baptist part of my testimony. Feeling sometimes shut out and outside of it all. I'll tell you something. You can stand tonight. You can stand up tonight. Because Jesus says, blessed is he who's not offended at me in this prison. The enemy's saying, you're washed up. You're far from God. You've missed it. You've got to live in plan B. No, that's not true. Jesus says, blessed are you. Blessed are you. When you and I, by faith, we just stand. And in that prison, and all of a sudden, we begin to hear, all of a sudden, blessed are you. I am with you. I'm working something in this suffering. I'm working something in this prison. I need this testimony in my church. I need this testimony in this hour. I am with you. Blessed are you. Your heart shall rejoice. You will have power in the midnight hour. You will learn to sing in the midnight hour. Not just pray, but you're going to learn to sing in the midnight hour. So stand in that prison. I need your testimony. I need you. I am with you. Blessed are you. Blessed. You are blessed. You are blessed. Hallelujah. I'm not offended with you. You are blessed. And the enemy will not take this testimony for you in this prison, for I am with you. It is a God-appointed time, for my church needs a John the Baptist testimony, and I am with you, and you are coming through. Here, there is none born greater than one that finds themselves in this prison, shut out, and yet by faith they stand and say, God, you are good, and feel heaven come into their soul, and feel the sweetness of the suffering of Christ, and a strength to love people, and to look away from ourselves. The church needs this testimony, and Jesus says, I have appointed you and I've called you for such a time as this. I'll stand with you. You will know me. You will know me in the fellowship of my suffering. I love you. Blessed are you. I've chosen you. Blessed are you. Blessed are you. You're not cut off. Stand now. Stand. With our arms high, hearts wide open, and we feel the heavens say, I am with you. We feel an open heaven. It is true. A John the Baptist testimony is being worked in you, and you are blessed. And you are blessed. Hallelujah. 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 Just let me pray, Lord Jesus. I pray for this first group of people, Lord, that you wanted to minister to tonight. I thank you that we are standing in the midnight hour. I thank you are giving your people, whom you love so much, a taste of a fellowship that we cannot know any other way but in that prison. I thank you, Lord, you will stand with us. I thank you. Grace will be given us to raise our hands in that place and to hear your words that says we're blessed. We're not pushed away. We've not offended you. And that, Lord, we will not be ruined in this place of suffering. We will not be ruined here. We will not be ruined here. We will be blessed here. You are with us, Lord, in a way that we could never know you otherwise. So we say it is good. And when our hour of release comes, Lord, there'll be a power in us. So convinced will we be of your loving kindness, the strength that you alone impart in a prison place where we've had to battle the lie of the enemy. We've not been pushed out of the will of God. We are being formed for the glory of God. And I just thank you for every fellow John the Baptist testimony. I thank you, Lord. You are good, Lord. We raise our arms, our hearts are open, and we're standing in this place to the glory of God. We embrace all that's in our life at this moment, knowing that you will turn it somehow for good and a testimony. We declare to the enemy and to hell, you have not triumphed in this place. As surely as John the Baptist was not triumphed over, neither are we. I thank you, Lord, that you bragged on him. And Lord, I feel your pleasure tonight over your people that you are standing with. In the mighty name of Jesus, I pray. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Yes. You have a necessary testimony, and I thank God for you. We need each other. Now, you may have come to this altar, and you've come to accept Christ. You're opening your heart to him, and you're saying, Lord, come into my heart. If there's anyone here that for the first time they're asking Christ to come into their life, would you just slip up your hand? Hallelujah. Thank you. Welcome to the family of God. Anyone else for the first time? All over. You don't have to have come to the front, just all over. Well, you're with family here. I hate to point you out, but I see your hand first. And your life has changed. You will see the power of God in you and a new beginning today. And every morning is new. Yes, you can hope, but it's truth what I tell you. If you've opened your heart to Jesus, he comes in and he changes everything. Hallelujah. And anyone else in this place, if you need a Bible, if you want to pray, if you would like to talk to someone, you can just at the end of this service, anyone in a gold jacket will be able to take you to a place where we pray with you, give you a Bible, welcome you here. You're welcome to meet people here in fellowship. And God bless you. Your life will never be the same. I was changed 31 years ago, and praise God, your life has changed because Jesus has come in. He brings his life. And for those that are in that necessary testimony of a John the Baptist testing, you know what? We get to go home and tell the devil he's a liar, that Satan, the blood of Jesus, is against you, that I'm standing, I will not be quiet. I'm going to sing in the midnight hour. I'm going to sing away his condemnation. And the glory of God is coming down to strengthen us. Hallelujah, hallelujah. God bless you.